Welcome to the Enduring Churches podcast with Alan and Trent. We're here to help you as a pastor, as a leader, as a church member to endure.
Hey, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan Small, and I'm here with Trent Young, and we are so glad to be with you as we adjust to life with a little bit less physical contact. So how are you doing with that, Trent?
This is so strange, Alan. I'm a hugger and a handshaker, and oh, wow, it's just so strange in church. We're recording this on Monday, and you know, yesterday was church, and except we didn't get to have church. We pre-recorded things and put them out, and it was weird. How are you doing, Alan?
Yeah, well, you know, we're trying to adjust and adapt, and I probably spent one of the busiest weeks I've ever had in ministry last week, and most of that was learning how to do things I've never done before. So we had our service online. I think it went pretty good, and you know, if people will stroll on over to our website, they can even catch a couple messages here and there that have been preached that are easy to put out there now. So there's some access to some of that. But, you know, Trent, as I was thinking about getting back together, I don't know about you, but we've just been inundated with information and offers and all amazing stuff. It's just neat to see the faith community come together to provide resources for one another. But I'm a bit of a visionary. I'd like to get kind of out in front of this thing. How about you?
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity. You know, we are all, as ministry leaders, we're overwhelmed, of course, and we're walking ground that we're not familiar with. But just like we've been telling our church families that we don't want to be afraid. And I read yesterday a quote from Max Lucado. He was telling from his empty church building that we don't need to be afraid. The Holy Spirit's not limited to a church building. And I think that's true. And I'm excited about what God's going to do, even in the weirdness of this whole situation.
You know, as I was preparing for last Sunday's message, and I talked about how we've kind of recovered a idea of what a simple church looks like. I had read a book in early 2000s that just said, you know, church is going to move from to anywhere, anytime, and that was because of the birth of the internet. And I think, by and large, our churches had kind of resisted that until we were all forced to face it this past week. And all of a sudden, YouTube probably became the world's largest distributor of religious material yesterday that we've ever seen. I know my internet got really slow Sunday morning in my neighborhood. So a lot of people, I think, were online watching church services, and that's great. But I do hope that we will come out on the other side of this maybe a little bit different. And I thought we could share some thoughts today on maybe some of the things that we hope we will be on the other side. And so we've got some statements here that kind of say, I hope, and this is what I hope to have take place in my life. So I thought we could talk about that today. I think maybe that'll benefit people, maybe encourage people as we start to think about what it's going to be like on the other side of all this.
That's true, Alan. And this is a good time for us to do that. Of course, our main hope is that this coronavirus goes away quickly. We know that God is able to deal with that, but maybe he's forcing us to get out of our box. But as we look forward toward the future, I know that, Alan, you have some hopes. I have some hopes. And so let's talk about them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so the first thing is, I hope I deepen my trust in God. Boy, that's just something that I've been thinking about is all the things that are outside my control right now. There doesn't seem to be many things that I do have control of. And it's teaching me that I can't stress about the things I can't control. I can't control the economy as a result of this. I can't control, how many people can meet together. I can't control how long that this is going to last. There's so much that is outside my control right now. But I get to control how I respond to it.
Alan, you know, talking to pastors and leaders around the country, I think I've seen that more and more pastors, we want to encourage our people to be people of faith and to trust God, but deep in our hearts, we're control freaks. And so this is an area that we do need to grow in, that we do need to deepen our trust in God and not so much in ourselves and not so much in the people that help, you know, weekly in church. We love those people, but this is an area and this is a time when I think God, we need to really encourage ourselves to trust God more as we encourage our church families to as well.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about this coming Sunday, I talked this last week about a simple church, and this coming week I'll be talking about a simple faith. And I was going through a lot of my books, and I was l looking for books specifically about the role of faith in our life. And I see a lot about grace. I have a lot about grace. I have a lot about leadership and how to improve ourselves. And I've got all these books. And I was amazed at how little is truly there and has been written about how we truly trust God. And I thought, wow, I'm going to have to create a lot of this just from my own experience and from my own study and all those kinds of things. Because really, I think it's a subject that we often forget because it is so easy to be self-reliant.
Well, and I think you're right, Alan. The self-reliance, that's kind of what's taught to us. I mean, you and I both love leadership studies, and we try to grow in that area and try to help other ministry leaders in that. But sometimes I wonder, do we do that to the detriment of our faith walk? Do we grow in our leadership but forget to increase our faith? To buoy that up.
And those are the questions. I think we have to kind of get on top of what faith really looks like. And so I hope that I'm better in that area on the other side. And I know that's kind of one of your prayers for your own life as well, is that we somehow come out of this more trusting of God. Second thing is, I hope I value more creativity in my ministry. We are certainly learning a lot about what is possible in a pandemic world.
Oh, yeah. Alan, you and I were just talking about the things that we're having to learn how to do. We're both spent this last week learning some new software. And this, I've been talking to pastors and leaders around, and they're all struggling with the new things. And so I guess one of the questions that I want us to all to ask ourselves is, what have we learned about ourselves and our church during this time? I think that's, you know, as we want to value growing in creativity, this is a good time for us to look around and say, okay, what are the things I'm really learning more about my church family, my church, as far as facilities and technological capabilities, and then myself as well.
You know, I was amazed at how many of our folks rose to the occasion to worship with us on YouTube yesterday. I was just blown away with the response of that. And I think sometimes we sell our churches short on what they're willing to try. And maybe one of the reasons we don't have bigger hearts for the gospel is because we're not taking enough risks to allow our own creativity to get out there and come up with fresh solutions to challenging problems out there. So I think this is really good.
I agree, Alan. It has pushed us. I was talking with a friend. He's a pastor in West Texas and was also a BSU director at one time. And he was mentioning that, you know, thinking back to the time when Jesus ascended and then his followers, his disciples, they hung out in Jerusalem because he told them to. But then after they received the Holy Spirit, they continued to hang out there until God allowed there to be persecution to disperse them. And I'm wondering if this time is not dispersing us out of our buildings and encouraging our creativity. And it can be a real positive if we want it to be.
Yeah, my churches have many people have come to me. They've commented. They've seen a shirt online that says the church has left the building, and so many of them want to buy that shirt because that's really what we're called to do. We're called to be a people who are out and about, and we need to take that role very seriously. And so, unlocking our own creativity in ministry is important. But it's also important to learn from other churches and to see what they're doing and learn from them as well.
Alan, are you, I know that I'm following some groups on Facebook and different deals online that allow ministers to talk back and forth. Are you following some of those groups as well?
Yes, I'm following so much that I've started to suffer from information overload, and yeah. Now I'm trying to weed through what's important, and there's so many ideas, and you can't grab hold of all of them, and you really need to know your context really well when you're trying to filter through ideas. You need to know your context. So, you know, I love some of the resources of megachurches, and what I appreciate about so many megachurches is how they've helped smaller churches in their area with their recording. That is just so cool that they're doing mm-hmm. that, and I appreciate that. But to try to copy them would be foolish. I'm not going to do anything as nice as whatever major big church that has a full multimedia team, paid media team is going to do. We can only do the best we can do within our context. And so, you know, we have to contextualize all those things, but it's important to learn and to see what's possible out there. And I think that's maybe an area where we had been weak going into this event is smaller churches assume that it wouldn't ever matter if we had an online presence or not. Well, it certainly did, and we should have been ahead of that curve.
We try to do the comparison game, right? And we struggle with that because we're like, well, I'm not near as good a speaker as, you know, the great big church pastor, or, you know, or somebody will not like our rinky-dink little thing. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that I've learned. And I got the opportunity for the first time in a long time yesterday after we got through doing our stuff at church. I got to listen to several other churches, and all of them were small church pastors that had posted either Facebook Live or on YouTube. And it was great. Man, I was encouraged. I learned a lot. And so I think there's a great opportunity for us in that.
Yeah, I think there were some pretty good sermons out there yesterday. I know people wanted to hear from their pastors, and they wanted to be encouraged by their pastors. And I know there was a lot of that going on yesterday. Well, let's talk about this a third one. And that's, I hope I have learned to look out for the vulnerable. I think that that's an area we overlook. We oftentimes will talk about widows and orphans, and we'll think about what that means. But, you know, we are learning right now a lot who is vulnerable and what it means to look out for them.
Yeah, you're right, Alan. As we're getting ready for all of this and, you know, trying to make sure that our church, we're communicating through, we have a lot of different possibilities, but there were still some people that maybe they don't do technology very well. And so we needed to, you know, pick up the phone or go see them and talk to them and tell them what was happening in our church. And that really opened my eyes to what you're just talking about. Who are the vulnerable people, or who are the people that aren't necessarily as connected as some others?
Well, and you know, we were having a prayer time before our service aired online yesterday, and someone just started praying for all the kids who are, for instance, in abusive homes, that are trapped with abusive situations. And I hadn't given that a thought. I had not thought for one second about all the kids that might be trapped in an abusive home. I thought about some of the kids who maybe didn't have lunches and things like that. But I all of a sudden my heart was just breaking for the possibility of what could be going on behind some of the closed doors. And I think we need to remember and think about some of those things. And I hope that I'm a little bit more mindful of everyone who is out there that is in a vulnerable situation.
There's a young lady in the Sunday school class that my wife and I teach that she is a nurse, and she's, you know, we've had a lot of conversations in the last week or so with just, you know, the concerns that she has being on the front lines of dealing with this and worrying about bringing it home to her kids. And it's been an eye opener to think about all these different people. And I think that, you know, that's a positive thing. And I do hope that we've learned to look at other people and to have eyes more open to the vulnerable.
Well, I also wrote this one down, Trent, and tell me what you think about this one, but I hope I learn to support other churches more passionately.
That's so good. That is, you know, and yesterday, just as I mentioned, I got to, I have several friends, other pastors, that I got to go and listen to their sermons online, but it is an eye-opener that, you know, do we really have relationships with other pastors? And so pastors and leaders, I want to ask you, do you have relationships with other ministry leaders in your community, people that you are checking in with? We need to be a support group for each other. Alan, I know that you and I, we have that relationship, and that's, we get to do this podcast out of it, but it's also, one of the things that we both have a heart for is being there for other pastors and leaders.
Well, I'm just so reminded that I am blessed to be in the situation in which I am, and it's going to be tough and it's going to be challenging. But I think about our bivocational pastors right now who could be feeling a pinch on from two different jobs, who are trying to balance their time, their health, their all their activities, church plants who didn't have buildings to work with in this time and are kind of out of sight, out of mind in some ways. And, you know, churches, we need to support the work of ministry, not just ourselves. And we need to get beyond ourselves. And, you know, I mentioned so many churches offering their space to let others help. I know churches are making masks, medical masks. There's all kinds of things going on. And I think it's important for us to get engaged, not only in supporting what other churches are doing, but in doing so to support a community of faith around the world.
Well, and our community at large needs to see us doing that too. You know, like you said, making masks, helping out in lots of different ways. They need to see that our faith works, that it makes a difference in real life. And, you know, another question that kind of goes along with that is, am I encouraging my church family to think about other people in their churches, to encourage them? And now's a great time, not only for pastors to be able to hear each other, but for our church family to be encouragers to other people, to bump up the viewership in other churches, and also to, you know, just to be a larger global community of believers.
And I think a lot of that happened yesterday, and that's to me an encouraging sight. And I hope that we will continue in that sense of teamwork, that we are working for a common cause and can do that hand in hand and heart in heart with that. Well, the fifth one is, I hope I will be more proactive in ministry opportunities. I think that word proactive is going to be around for a while.
Yes, you're right. So, Alan, as you've thought about this, and how do you hope to be more proactive? How do we do that?
Well, I certainly want to just pay more attention. I think one of the mistakes that I made is I didn't listen. I didn't pay attention to what was going on in China. You know, I wasn't looking for any opportunities. I wasn't planning for any opportunities. And yet, if you watched all this unfold, it was pretty dramatic what was going on in China. And you know that people are traveling over there. You know that this stuff's going to spread. And I just wish that I had maybe had the possibility in mind of hey, what do we do if there's a big deal that happens over here regarding health? And I don't think we ever thought about it, just like we had never thought about how we're going to handle events after 9/11 or whatever. But our churches need to be proactive. We need to get out there and make our voices heard, and we need to be ready to jump in and roll our sleeves up and go to work and help and encourage people. And I just want to be ever mindful and remember what it felt like to know that I was behind the curve and that I didn't like being there, and to do everything I can do to not be caught off guard, and to have some what do we do if things in place.
Well, I'm really glad that you approached it that way, Alan, because you and I are both, we're dreamers. We like to be those guys who are proactive. We like to be ahead of the curve and not behind the curve. And so, but you also mentioned that, you know, being able to help. And I know some people are going to turn that into the total opposite, and they're going to start, okay, well, we're always going to have a bunker, you know, and I don't feel like that's what God has called us to do. I think he's called us to be out and shine. And things like this should help us, just as you said, Alan, to think ahead. And it's like, how can I shine brighter? How can I be involved with more people from now on?
Right. That's what we need to do. And, you know, you asked this question, are we willing to dream bigger? And I hope so. I mean, I certainly hope that is something that I will do is make my dreams bigger about what God can do on the other side of all of this.
Well, another part of that too, Alan, and which I kind of mentioned earlier, is you and I are both learning new stuff, and I want to encourage you, as if you're listening to this, if you're a pastor, leader, or church member, are you a lifelong learner in the sense that, hey, I'm okay with learning how to help our church be technologically adept, or I'm willing to learn new stuff. I'm learning new software, Alan, and I'm learning how to edit video and do more things online. And I know that you're learning some new things as well.
Yes, I've already kind of wore myself out on some of it, but that's okay. We're going to learn this. And we're, like I tell my church, we're going to get better every week we do this. And hopefully by the time we are meeting back together, we're ready to go live with our weekly live streams. So that'll be great. I mean, we can come out of this better on the other side. And that's what I hope takes place for us.
Yeah, I hope that the churches, once we are able to meet again, that we don't just drop all of this. There's a whole lot of people in our community that may not ever come to our churches that are still going to need to be touched and to told the truth about Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, I think that can be an awesome opportunity. So the last thing that we wrote down, Alan, is that we hope that we stood as a strong example of Christ-like behavior in our churches. And I know that that's our desire. And so, Alan, as you think about that question, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, this is the one, I guess, you know, as we've framed all of these, they begin with this, I hope I. And I think that's where it wants to be. This is it gets very internal and very personal at some point in time, that we have to be ready to accept the mantle of leadership that God has placed us in. And we do have a leadership responsibility. And I know some pastors out there still just are fighting with the idea that they need to be in small groups or this or that, and still want to just go on as normal. But I hope that I've provided a more balanced, wise leadership that says, let's listen to the authorities, let's listen to the CDC, and let's honor what we can honor. But let's also be confident that we're going to get through this, and we're going to be better, and that God can use this time in our lives and in the life of our church to grow his kingdom. And I hope that I will not be negative with my church, but I'll be positive, that I will encourage them, that I will equip them, and then that I will also challenge them to share their faith in this time.
I'm so glad that you said that about being positive. And I think that a big part of that for you and I both, we've talked about is that we need to always be listening. I know that every church has a slightly different leadership group, you know, whether it's a deacon board or elders or whatever. And we have a lead team, a leadership team. And my goal, and I know this was God did this. He helped me to put this group together a while back so that we would be ready for this time. But man, the more that we met this last couple of weeks, I love those people. I tell you what, I just appreciate their insights and their hearts so much. And they've been strong examples of Christ-like leadership to me, and I've appreciated that.
And we lead by example, and I'm grateful for my staff and for my leadership team and their hard work, because I see them working really, really hard and trying to do everything we can do to provide a strong community in this time. And that's so important. But it's also important for us to talk about what is our public face going to look like, and how are we going to stand when we're before people? And we need to be encouragers. There's going to be probably a lot more depression, a lot more anxiety that we're dealing with people, with all the events that are going on right now, than we're going to actually deal with physical sickness. And we need to be there for them. We need to be strong for people who are struggling through this time.
Yeah, I heard an interview just this morning of a gentleman was asking, how do you deal with, you know, he was riding social, or not social, but a public transportation. And, you know, he found himself, you know, frowning at everybody. And there's going to come a time when it's going to be okay to be more out there. And are we going to be people who smile and bring joy? And that, I think that's part of our leadership, is to lead our people to be people that bring joy again.
Well, we kind of interrupted. That's our next podcast is actually going to be about how to be a truthful encourager. And we kind of interrupting because we wanted to kind of come and talk about the situation that's going on right now and how we're going to hopefully be on the other side of all of this. But, you know, I'm excited to air that one because we all need to work on our ability to encourage a very discouraged people at times. And we're going to be dealing with this for quite some time, the emotional aftermath of what's gone on.
That's absolutely right. And so we hope that you will take the opportunity even to go back and listen to some of our previous podcasts. And we're doing our best to pray for you all as our listeners and to encourage you. And so, Alan, we don't typically do this on our podcast, but if you wouldn't mind, I want to pray for us as we finish up today.
That's a perfect way to end this one.
All righty. So, Father, we want to serve you, and we want to be a light for you. And so, God, I pray that you would encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, that you would lift them up, that you would return them to the joy of their salvation. Help them to see again all that you've done for them. Help us all to, in the middle of these things that make us afraid, help us to trust you more than we get caught up in fear. And God, help us to encourage one another, to encourage our fellow servants in Christ, and help us to encourage other churches as well. God, we just ask that you would hold us all in your hands, keep us safe, help us to be tools that fit well in your hand. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. My friends, we know that God's church will endure, and so will you. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to getting back with you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Enduring Churches podcast. We truly appreciate your time. Help us spread the word to your friends and family about this podcast. If you would like to be a sponsor of this program, please contact us via our Facebook page or enduringchurches.com.